to the sixth case, UBID versus GoDaddy Group. Okay.
May it please the court, Craig Milkey on behalf of the appellant, UBID. We're here to talk about international shoe, traditional notions of fair play, minimal contacts. And, of course, this court's recent decision in Tamboro that just came out in April of 2010 this year. International shoe came out in 1945, and although it talks about traditional notions of fair play, it is not limited to traditional forms of business. And here we have two clients, both my client, UBID, and the defendant, GoDaddy, that the Supreme Court never could have imagined in 1945, and in fact, even just a few years ago, were unimaginable in jurisprudence with long-arm statutes. UBID was formed in 1995, GoDaddy in 1997. GoDaddy is proud of the fact that in 2005 their business grew, are you ready for this, 8,274%. Amazing. My client, admittedly smaller, is still a billion-dollar company and does quite well. I think it's
important.
So you
can't go to Arizona?
Pardon?
You can't go to Arizona?
Sure we could. I was there for depositions in this case. It was 108 degrees in August. I like Chicago better. I think it's important to understand, and they said it was actually warmer the week before I got there. I think it's important to understand the nature.
To build that into a new test.
But it's a dry heat. It's important to understand really the nature of these two businesses. UBID is perhaps a little bit easier to understand. It's a variation on, I think, what I would call the eBay-type model. eBay focuses on, of course, individual private sellers and individual private buyers. UBID has corporate sellers, businesses that have excess inventory, and kind of like Priceline that William Shatner advertises on television. The purchasers in a UBID system bid on consumer electronics and other consumer goods. UBID, though, is simply a transaction company. They don't take possession of inventory. They don't ship inventory. Everything they do is over the Internet. GoDaddy is a little bit more complicated. GoDaddy is, and it's admitted, they're the number one registrar of domain names. They are also the number one parking company of domain names. Back in 2009, and this is in our pleadings, they had over 29 million domain names under management. I checked this morning. In 2010, they're now up to 40 million domain names under management. What does all this mean? I'd like to give two concrete examples that kind of help bring this home, what the GoDaddy business model is. I checked CraigMilkey.com is currently available. Nobody's registered that domain name. So I could go to GoDaddy, and for $9.95 a year, they would register that domain name to me. Now, what do I do with that domain name? I can do two things. I can make it into my own website and promote my legal services, in which case I might, again, go back to GoDaddy, and they would host my web page for me. Or, if I choose not to do that, simply because I want to preserve that CraigMilkey.com, that domain is then parked with GoDaddy. Now, what does GoDaddy do with that parked domain? Well, with their store of 29 million domain names, they have a process whereby they make those otherwise useless domain names into money. And here's another concrete example that kind of tells us how they
is
do
that
it.
$9.50? How do they make that into money?
I'll tell you. This is very interesting. This is how you monetize a otherwise worthless domain name.
Just a parked name.
Pardon?
Would you call it a domain name that's parked?
Yes.
Only parked.
It's parked. So now parking means I own the domain name. It's registered to me, but I have given up my rights to utilize that domain to GoDaddy. GoDaddy will then monetize that domain name, and they make a lot of money doing this. Here is a concrete example. Again, this is not a GoDaddy domain. It's actually a different parking company known as Sea-Doo. If you type in on your browser in the address bar, UnitedAirlines.com, you go to United Airlines. Okay. If you misspell United Airlines and type in UNTED Airlines, UNTED Airlines, you go to a parked website that is a single page. It's got a picture of a jet airline on it, and it has links for advertisement to Southwest Airlines, other airlines, and travel companies. There, the parking company makes money on my confusion, my error over United Airlines spelling. That parking company is trading on the goodwill of United Airlines, and they make money if I click on one of those links on that page. So this is what we call monetizing websites or domain names. It is not a coincidence that when I misspell United Airlines, I go to a web page that has a picture of a jet plane on it and ads for Southwest Airlines, because companies like Google, which is big on this, use semantic technology to take these misspelling of legitimate websites, and a computer will say UNTED Airlines, that deals with the travel industry. So we put ads on it for the travel industry. It is based on clicks generated by these parked websites that people like GoDaddy make huge amounts of money.
This is all on mistakes.
Pardon?
On mistakes.
Errors and misspellings and confusion, yes. In the case of UBID, we list in our complaint, I believe it's 100 variations of the UBID.com website, which is also a trademark, and our associated company, RedTag.com, which again is also a trademark. And these are misspellings, adding common words before or after UBID, all of which are things that people do when they're possibly trying to find our website. And we allege that this is a violation of our trademark rights through a statute known as the anti-cyber squatting statute.
Mr. Melke, let me ask you, is there anything in these briefs that you think needs to remain sealed?
Personally, no, but we've agreed to the sealing, and I think the court's ordered the sealing.
Yeah, I've got my doubts. I want to raise that question for both sides.
I read through some of the things that we've agreed to be sealed, and I was frankly surprised, but you know, that is the current order of the court.
Okay.
Under
but
the
you would not oppose unsealing?
Oh, I wouldn't, no.
Okay.
Under the anti-cyber squatting claims, and again, we have a one-count complaint, we allege a bad faith intent by GoDaddy to violate my client's rights.
Bad faith in that they anticipate mistakes and you're going to profit from them?
There are multiple, yes, in part there, but there are multiple specific aspects under the statute. First, these domain names which have been monetized are what we call no-content sites, meaning they have no content other than commercials, other than ads. And that's what we complain that GoDaddy is doing with these variations. They're not using one of our variations for what I would call a legitimate website to sell other legitimate product or that type of thing. They're using variations on our website to generate advertising revenue. Okay? GoDaddy had no prior use of any of these domain names. Rather, it was my client that had the prior use and established the goodwill and the trademark value in those websites. GoDaddy has no relationship to these parked websites. They're not variations of GoDaddy. They don't relate to GoDaddy's business. And in fact, GoDaddy does this in a bulk manner. Again, these are all statutory guidelines under the anti-cyber squatting statute. They have 29 million, now 40 million, of these otherwise worthless domains that are parked with them that they monetize and make a lot of money on.
Are any of those parked domains worth something? Are they actual businesses or not?
No. I mean, that's kind of the definition of a parked website. If it is a UnitedAirlines.com.
You can tell I don't know what I'm talking about.
Your Honor, I've learned a whole lot in the last 2 years that I knew nothing about just a few years ago. Again, my example, UnitedAirlines.com is a what I call a legitimate website that people dealing with United Airlines go to tens of thousands of times a day. That is not a parked domain. That is an active, useful, legitimate website. UntedAirlines.com is the parked site that is there solely to generate revenue for the parking company, and most likely the violation of United Airlines trademark rights. Now, we're not here to discuss the merits of that.
I was wondering, your time is very short. Could we talk about specific jurisdiction? And specifically, I'd like to know if you think your assertion of jurisdiction here in Illinois depends on the fact that two of the alleged 171 cyber squatters are Illinois residents.
Yes and no. I mean, and this is part of the sealed stuff. On page 4 of our brief, we indicate the exact number of customers here and the revenue.
I can't see anything conceivably secret about that, but go ahead.
Neither can I. Yes, there are two of those people that have some of the park domains that violate my client's rights, or so we allege. But in addition to that, it's not only the contractual relationships that GoDaddy has with its own customers, but also there is the audience, because GoDaddy only makes money off these websites by the fact that there is an audience. They have, think of it this way, they have 27 million, now 40 million, billboards on the Internet highway. All of those 29, now 40 million billboards are viewable by every citizen in the state of Illinois that has access to the Internet. And that's why we go beyond the mere customers of GoDaddy in Illinois, because the customers in and of themselves, they're only paying $9.95 a year. That's not what causes the damage to my client. It is the fact that the state of Illinois is an audience to these ads that violate my client's rights, that are part of the specific jurisdiction.
Well, as the general jurisdiction, then, you would say anywhere in the globe, I suppose. You could bring this law.
I think once a company like GoDaddy gets as big as they are,
the
number
right.
of customers they have in Illinois and associated states, it's like Hustler magazine in the one case, it's like the National Enquirer. GoDaddy is, in essence, a publisher of these ads, and they publish them in incredible volume throughout the United States, and certainly they have saturated Illinois with their publications of these ads, some of which are the direct cause of my client's injuries. In addition, we've got a huge number of customers in Illinois, huge revenue coming out of Illinois. I think there's clearly both general and specific jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you, Smelke. Ms. Klauser? Or Klausner, excuse me.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. Tonya Klausner on behalf of the appellees.
Do you want to address Judge Hamilton's inquiry about the sealing?
Certainly. The materials that we moved to maintain under seal are primarily the deposition transcripts, which were included as an attachment to the district court brief. I would have to look at the briefs themselves, and we're happy to do that if the court would like us to.
You all filed them. It's your number of customers in Illinois, your gross revenues from Illinois. That's basically it.
Yes, and we did.
And I believe you sealed the fact that you advertised at the Super Bowl, which is a little tough to
If that's
follow.
The case, then that was erroneous, and we'd be happy to look back at it.
I'm not talking about unsealing the entire record, but at least the briefs that were filed in this case in this court.
If we could, we'd like to address that separately, and we can look back, and if the court would like us to renew our request to either seal the briefs separate and apart from the underlying transcripts.
Or reconsider.
Why don't we... Then have a response in 10 days to the issue of sealing. Thank you.
Now, my colleague spent most of his argument up here speaking about the merits of this case and what anti-cyber squatting is. We take issue with his position, obviously, but that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about jurisdiction. Jurisdiction cannot be based, whether it's specific or general jurisdiction, solely on the level of interactivity of a defendant's website, consistent with the principles articulated by the Supreme Court time and again. The court looks at the specific facts of the quality and nature of GoDaddy's contacts with the state of Illinois. It's clear that GoDaddy does not conduct continuous and systematic general business within this forum such that it should be treated as the equivalent of a resident.
Why don't you put aside the question of general jurisdiction? If a visitor slips and falls at GoDaddy's headquarters in Arizona, you're not going to be subject to a lawsuit in Illinois, okay?
We would hope not, although that's what's being argued.
Well, I know. But let's focus on specific jurisdiction. And in particular, if you could address the reasoning of the Supreme Court in Keaton against Hustler magazine, which seems to suggest that a company with the kind of widespread publishing presence that the magazine had in that case might be compared to GoDaddy's ubiquitous presence in national media at this point.
Certainly. The distinction between Keaton and GoDaddy in the cases, really, is that here, GoDaddy's website itself, the content that's on the homepage of GoDaddy's website and the content that's being viewed when the customers in Illinois are registering their domain names, there's nothing published, if that could be considered a publication, in that content that's giving rise to these claims. The claims here, as my colleague explained, arise out of these separate web pages, these parked pages. And there's nothing to suggest that those parked pages, which are separate web pages hosted on GoDaddy servers in Arizona, that they are in any way targeted at Illinois residents or even have ever reached and been seen by a single Illinois resident. In Keaton, the publications, there were some 10 to 15,000 subscriptions to the magazine that the company was purposefully delivering into the state. Here, even if the court considers a website a publication and that somehow GoDaddy is delivering its website into the state, the only portion of the website that's being delivered to the customers in Illinois are the initial homepage and the pages that the customer has to see when they go through the registration process. The claims here don't arise out of those pages. This case also is very different than the Calder case, which was the requirements of which this court recently clarified in Tamboro. Here, there's no indication that GoDaddy acted with even knowledge of where UBID was located or that it was a trademark owner. There's no indication that GoDaddy purposefully aimed its conduct at the state of Illinois in connection with this park page service. It has nothing to do with the state of Illinois. GoDaddy is more like the Australian website operator in Tamboro. There's no allegation it acted with knowledge that it operates its business in Illinois, and nothing from which this court could find that GoDaddy is purposefully directing these parked pages at Illinois, as opposed to just making them available generally, which this court in the Purdue case says it's not enough. The website that GoDaddy has also cannot provide the purposeful availment that's necessary to hold GoDaddy to pull GoDaddy into this jurisdiction under a specific jurisdiction analysis. And we recognize that there are several courts that, although they've rejected the Zippo case for general jurisdiction, have accepted it in the context of specific jurisdiction. The problem is that the Zippo framework, it's a formulaic and mechanical test. The Supreme Court and this court repeatedly have rejected any sort of mechanical or formulaic test for jurisdiction. It also overlooks that there you could have a passive website that is specifically targeted at a particular state. In the Tamboro case, I believe the court implied this, that there could be a libel action arising out of content on a passive website. That would be an instance of a passive website that would give rise to specific jurisdiction. At the other end of the spectrum, and that's where GoDaddy is, you can have a highly interactive website, but all that website is doing is allowing GoDaddy to do business with residents of Illinois. And the contracts that GoDaddy's entering with those residents are very important, and this court and the Supreme Court has made clear you have to look at the nature of the contractual relationship. Having contracts with residents of the state does not necessarily reflect purposeful availment. These contracts are all deemed, and the contracts are attached, they're in the record. They're deemed entered in the state of Arizona. They call for application of Arizona law. And any suit with the customer that arises must be brought in the courts of Arizona. There's no reason why GoDaddy, by entering the two contracts with the two alleged cyber squatters here, would have foreseen being pulled into court by UBID in Illinois. I have more time, but unless the court has further questions, I'll sit down.
I wish I knew enough to ask another question. Is there, to go beyond it, does there have to be something targeted or some purposeful thing in order to where you did gain specific jurisdiction? Is there something more than what more would have to be added in order to get jurisdiction here?
There would have to be some sort of targeted conduct by GoDaddy at Illinois residents in particular. If, for example, GoDaddy's website had specials this week, half-price domains for Illinois residents, there would be some sort of conduct directed at Illinois residents. But GoDaddy doesn't have that. Its website is equally accessible and available to anyone anywhere in the world with an internet connection.
So let's say your only customers were the several hundred thousand folks in Illinois, and you did only the advertising that was in Illinois. I happened to be at the Cubs game last night. I saw the GoDaddy sign behind home plate. We've got the races and so on. If that were GoDaddy's business, would there be any problem in subjecting you to jurisdiction here?
That would be a significantly tougher case, for sure.
And does the fact that you're a bigger company with a national and even international presence then weigh in the other direction against holding you subject to jurisdiction here?
It does. If GoDaddy's only business were conducted with residents of the state of Illinois, the court could infer there was a reason for that. There must be some targeting that was going on. Otherwise, it wouldn't make sense that the customers were only coming from there.
Okay, but in the Keaton against Hustler case, the Supreme Court reasoned, in essence, Hustler could be sued anywhere in the country based on the contents of its magazine, right?
Yes, but Hustler was specifically sending its product into the state, and it was that particular product.
It was sending it into every state, right?
It was a national publication.
Yeah. And the Supreme Court saw not the slightest problem in subjecting it to jurisdiction there.
Yes, but that also was a case where the claim arose out of the content of the publication that was being sent into the state. Here, these claims don't arise out of the general commercial website that GoDaddy makes available to its customers. It's these park pages that we don't even know if anybody's ever looked at them.
Well, presumably you know if people click on them and you get revenue from that, right?
The GoDaddy wouldn't know that, yes. It's not in the record.
Okay.
I see that my time's up. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Okay, your time had expired, but you may have an additional minute.
I appreciate that, Aaron. GoDaddy probably has the most interactive website on earth, but I'm not concerned about that. It's the 29 million, now 40 million, billboards on the Internet highway, hundreds of which, infringe on my client's rights that can be seen anywhere and everywhere in the state of Illinois. It's disingenuous for counsel to say there's no reason to believe anybody in Illinois saw these 40 million billboards. As far as specific targeting is concerned, if you'll forgive me on what may be a bad analogy, GoDaddy is not the fly fisherman seeing the fish and throwing his lure at it, specifically targeting that fish. GoDaddy is the ocean trawler with the 5-mile-long gill net trying to grab every fish that it can. And, yes, I suppose GoDaddy can say, we didn't try to catch that one particular UBID fish, but it got into our net. And there's no question that GoDaddy targeted every single fish that got into its net. It did so very efficiently, with great automation, and now 40 million domain park names. But there's no question it is targeting my client as it is targeting hundreds, if not thousands, of other legitimate businessmen, because the only way a monetization of these otherwise worthless parked domain make money is by violating people's trademark rights. That is the way you monetize websites, because someone else created a value in a legitimate web page. They now park millions of confusingly similar pages, and they make money by trading on my client's goodwill and other legitimate business owners' goodwill. And clearly, there are 40 million billboards viewable everywhere in Illinois, target my client. Thank you.
I would ask one more thing, if I may. Does UBID have any domain names parked in GoDaddy?
I do not believe so.
I happened to trip over something last night that I was looking at a news story, and somehow an advertisement for QuiBid came up. Did you ever hear of that?
I haven't heard of that one.
Of course, I didn't either.
Yeah.
But the only reason I saw it is because, wait a minute,
right.
Another bid.
Yeah.
And it was a deal where somebody, you bid 60 cents on the same item, and you get enough bidders, somebody makes a lot of money, and they get a cheaper product. You know, I go, oh,
right.
Okay, well, that's all I'm asking.
Right.
All these so-called names and their part, anything with bid in it might...
I wish I'd been smart enough 10 years ago to get a million of these worthless domain names, because I wouldn't be here today.
Well, I guess we wouldn't be here.
Although I am happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Milky. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in